Blog Talk Radio.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And this is Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, August 9th, 2021. And as always, we begin each program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow your hearts with me as we go to the Lord. Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just asking that I decrease so that you may now increase. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you bless this teaching to bless your people in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you use it to equip them, to encourage them, to empower them, and impact them to live a more abundant life in you right now. And I pray in the name of Jesus, if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would make you their Lord and their Savior. So, Father, come into this teaching now. Come into the atmosphere now. Come into the room now, Lord God, and teach your children what you would want them to know about unleashing their full potential in you. In Jesus' name, I do pray it all. Amen, and to God be the glory. All right. Now let's get down to our Father's business. Last week, I asked, will you hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant, as an introduction to looking at our potential and purpose? So tonight, we'll be discussing how we can unleash our full potential for spiritual growth and service in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24, we see these words. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. We're talking about unleashing our potential. And the potential of a grain of wheat to produce and multiply is released when the grain is planted in the earth. You never realize the full potential of a seed until the seed is planted. An orange seed is potentially an orange tree capable of having many orange fruits, but it will never manifest its full potential of becoming that orange tree or having many fruit until you plant it and it is cultivated. It's the same way with life. It's the same way with us as individuals. Many people are born with lots of talents, gifts, and potentials, but a potential that is not released cannot produce fruit. Now, some of us Christians, we're so self-absorbed and we're so unable to break out of our small, self-centered life that we are blind to the potential of helping others. But God did not create us just so we can live and die for ourselves. God has not endowed us with gifts and resources just for us to hoard them and die with them. Our life is a seed waiting to be planted, and our God-given talents, gifts, and resources are also seeds waiting to be planted. But until we are willing to die to self and live for a greater cause than self, we will never release or realize our full potential. You see, someone can be really gifted and still end up with nothing. I've seen some gifted people, you know, they really have wonderful gifts, but they don't do anything with them. You see, their gift is not being committed to useful and productive causes. And when we don't use our gifts and talents for that, they will eventually become a liability. In the parable of the talents, which I shared with all of us last week, we are told of a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and gave unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability. Now, it is important to note that none of the servants was given resources that he didn't have the ability to manage. The one that was given 5 talents went and traded with his talents and gained 5 talents. The one that had 2 talents also traded with his talents and gained two talents. But the one that was given 1 talent went and hid the talent. And after a long time, their master returned and rewarded the 2 servants that traded and made profit with their talents by blessing each of them with more resources and a larger sphere of influence. However, the one that hid his talents dug up the talent from where he had buried it and returned it to his master. The master called the unprofitable servant a wicked and slothful servant and rebuked him for not engaging his talent in profitable ventures. The master then ordered that the talent be taken from him and given to the one that had 10 talents. Thus, the one who refused to trade with his talents became poor, whereas the other servants that traded with their talents became richer. Hallelujah. But the unprofitable servant was a self-absorbed person who had a twisted mindset and a negative impression of others around him, especially his master. You see, his negative mindset put him in a miserable condition, and this sabotaged his ability and talent, and it rendered him useless to himself and to other people. There are some people today that should be right out front. You know, they should be on the front lines doing kingdom work. They should be sponsors and financiers, but they have refused to invest their resources and their time in the work of the kingdom because of the negative impressions they have formed about certain pastors or certain churches of God. Some Christians don't pay their tithes because of ignorance and the negative impression they have formed about their very own pastors. We learn from this parable that those who refuse to engage in their God-given talents and resources and ventures that are profitable to the kingdom of God will eventually forfeit them to those that will use them for the benefit of the kingdom. You see, until you are faithful with the little you have, God will not give you any more. And anyone who buries his talents does not qualify for divine promotion or increase. Now, if you keep judging churches and other people and pastors by their weaknesses, all you're going to do is become a very discouraged, negative, murmuring and complaining Christian. And I can assure you that God knows how to discipline his called and sent who abuse his resources, and I will advise you to leave that to God. If you must judge your pastor or your servant leaders, then judge them by their efforts and not their weaknesses. Because when you judge them by their efforts, you will be motivated to serve the Lord. So don't let your opinion you have of your churches, your pastors, or your other church members hinder you from doing the will of God. Because a talent buried is a loss to the kingdom of God. Now, you know, saints, we live in a day and age where making our personal identity known is of great importance to us, for some of us. All we need to do is look at social media. Folks post all sorts of things as if it validates their mere existence. But in the quietness of our heart, we still may struggle with the question, who am I? Or why do I exist? Now, these questions are not just asked by the young, but there are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s who are still struggling to find their voice in the world. Some of us are still wandering around in life like we're in a fog, trying to discover our true purpose. But at some point, I pray all of us will wake up and ask the age-old question, who am I? I know I've done it. Great people in the Bible like David have done it. Ruth and Moses have done it. But yet once they understood their true identity in God, nothing could stop them from living out their purpose. Hear me clearly, and I do mean nothing. See, knowing who we are in Christ begins with understanding who God is. Colossians 1:15 through 16 talks about Christ being the creator of all things, that by God he created all things. That includes me, and that includes you. And guess what? He doesn't make any accidents. He doesn't make accidents. He doesn't have accidents. He doesn't create no junk. He doesn't create any mess. He wires everything into our lives. He does. He wires in our gifting, our experience, our passion. And it was all designed with purpose, on purpose. Finding our life's purpose requires a right view of God and a right view of ourselves. We have to see him for who he really is and know he has plans that are much greater than anything that we could ever dream, think, or imagine. Similarly, I have to gain a perspective, or always keep a perspective of who I am. I must continually examine myself and look at things and understand the things that have to be removed from my life so that I can always walk in a manner that pleases God. I understand that I've been designed in such a way that my unique purposes, passions, and aptitudes all can be used for the glory of God. Now, I want us to turn to Psalms 139, and I want to take us through verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Amen. And the word of God reads, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Let me ask you a question. Are you excited about your life? Or do you feel as though you're just merely existing? Are you moving with confidence toward a desired goal? Or do you feel as if you are drifting, just floating through, day to day without any sense of purpose or direction? Or perhaps there was a time when you were excited about your life, but now the excitement has faded and you find yourself asking, what happened to me? Why am I so apathetic about my life? What happened to my inner drive? People have said to me, when I look at my life and the way the world is today, I just don't see much to be excited about. Some think about their vocation or their job and say, I can't go any higher. I can't do any better or go any farther. I can't do more than I'm doing right now. And still others feel as if their lives have gone stale. Perhaps their marriage isn't as dynamic as it once were. Or perhaps they've lost all interest in the hobbies or activities that gave them pleasure. Or maybe they've lost friends that have to death or have moved away that they used to do fun things with. But, a lot of people tell me that they really feel inadequate or unprepared for the future. Still others feel like they're just plagued by life. They're just stuck in their circumstances, wandering around in the wilderness, asking, what's it all about? What is my life worth? What happened to my joy? Well, let me explain something to you. There are reasons that we feel stuck, discouraged, or adrift. There are reasons people lose their enthusiasm for life. There are reasons God's people lose their hope and their sense of purpose and their joy. There are reasons that life becomes just one big bore. In my opinion, the foremost reasons are people have lost sight of who God made them to be and what he designed them to do. And as a result, people are not actively, intentionally, and purposefully pursuing what the Father has planned and desired for them. There it is. See? Some of us are so busy, excuse me, looking around that we've lost sight of who God made us to be. If you truly want to pursue and reach your full potential, then you got to face that. There's two truths I really need you to face. One, God has placed more within you than you realize. And number two, you probably settle for the life that you have right now. Now I want to ask you, are you living a settled for life? You know, through my years in ministry, I have met countless people who are living with what I call a settled for life. Because someplace along their journey, they became complacent and content in their circumstances, seeing it all. They settled for what they believed was adequate or satisfactory. A friend reminded me recently that several decades ago, children in the earliest grades of school were given one of three marks for their achievements: outstanding, satisfactory, or unsatisfactory. And children frequently compared their results, telling how many O's or X's they received from their teachers. They never bragged, of course, about any U's. For most children, getting the extra satisfactory was just that, satisfactory. S might also stand for settle for. You see, if a student becomes content with a satisfactory effort, he or she will rarely apply themselves to earn an O for outstanding or an E for excellence. And the same is true in life. If a person becomes content with what is average, if a person becomes content with what is minimally acceptable or what is just satisfactory, they will rarely exert the effort or work towards something truly excellent or outstanding. In the vast majority of cases, the longer the person remains satisfied with a string of S marks in their life, the more they become complacent about life. After a while, they're just going through the motions. All they want to do is live what they call that normal life. You know, they just want to get up, go to work, go to church, go through their traditions, speak their rhetoric, and get on with it. But eventually, the person who has settled for life may actually feel threatened by challenges to achieve, have, or experience more than what is presently the reality of their life. And ultimately, we will turn back to our future and we refuse to hope for more, seek for more, or pursue more. That's just the way it is. See, the longer we sit, the longer we will sit. I often say when people don't attend church, the longer that they go, the more Sundays that they go without attending, the easier it becomes not to attend. The easier it is to make excuses for not going. And so it is with life. If we're getting by, if our needs are being met, if we have a few of the things that we want, then we don't hope for anymore. We're not trying to get anymore. We're not trying to pursue anymore. We don't want to rock the boat. How dare us dream? But if that's where you are today, I encourage you to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. When you look at yourself through his eyes, you won't be able to live that settled for life. You won't be content with just getting those satisfactory marks. Excuse me. On your report card of life. You may be asking, well, how does God see me? Well, our Heavenly Father sees us through eyes of love and forgiveness. He sees us where we are. And more importantly, he sees the person he made each and every one of us to be. And God sees all the awesome potentials and possibility that he created us to fulfill. And if we are willing to discover and to align ourselves with his plan and his purpose for our lives, oh, hallelujah, he will bless us. And he will bless us more than we could ever imagine. God promises to bless us with life and life more abundant. He sees the restored joy, peace, and sense of accomplishment that he wants in our lives. And Psalm 139, again, is a wonderful passage that speaks to us about the way the Father sees us. Like I have said, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We just read those verses from Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And again, I want to go back to this psalm because it speaks of three important truths about the way God sees us. First of all, he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In God's eyes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And other translations of this verse from the earliest versions of the Bible use the words awesomely wonderful. That's what the Father says about you. And that's what the Father says about me. He has made us in a way that is truly awesome. Now, in the first chapter of Genesis, God says again and again that what he made is good. Everything the Creator made was, at the outset, perfect in its form and in its function. It was beautiful, ordered, and magnificently connected to all other aspects of creation. And it worked exactly as he intended it to work. But after the fall of Adam, both form and function became a little bit warped. So, each of us was born into a sinful world that isn't always beautiful, and doesn't always work well or harmoniously. Nevertheless, and this is a vital point that I want for everybody to understand, God said about his creation, it is good. The Father made you and me for good purposes. And he made you and me with the potential to be perfected by his Holy Spirit. That means he desires to engage in the process of transforming us from the inside out so that we are continually being molded into the most God-beloved, Christ-honoring, Spirit-yielding person that we can be. Hallelujah. Because see, the Lord has a great plan for us. And he created you and me to accomplish it in his name. Because you know what? God knows everything about us. The psalmist wrote, "Your eyes saw my substance. Your substance is more than your flesh. It is in the sum of all your natural gifts, talents, dreams, personalities, and abilities." Hallelujah. Even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God saw you and me as whole and as a unique person. He made us one of a kind, and from our beginning, he saw our ending. The Lord has always known that what we could be and what we will be, because he is the one who created us. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The psalmist wrote that the days of his life were fashioned for him. You too were born at a particular time and to a particular family in a particular location. He made your life a set number of years in a set environment so you could be and do all that he created you to do and be. Every person is born into circumstances with both good and bad aspects. And each of us will encounter a degree of evil, and we will, praise the Lord, hopefully encounter a whole lot of righteousness. We all will face the realities of death and life. God created us, equipped us, and then filled us with the Holy Spirit to face situations. And with his help, he will guide us, and he will transform us from death to life, from evil to good, and from bad to his best. Our purpose on this earth is to develop our God-given gifts and our talents and abilities to the best of our abilities, so we can impact the world around us for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've ever wondered why you're on this earth, understand that God has placed you here as a unique person with a unique mission aimed at establishing and extending his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And your potential lies securely and completely in that purpose. Now, here are some questions that you need to ask God. Because, I mean, have you ever stopped and seriously just asked God about his will? Have you ever just stopped and asked God about his plan or purpose for your life? And if you have, are you or were you fully willing and available to receive his answers? Now, among the questions I ask God, and I encourage you to ask some of these same questions, are these: Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? Lord, what do you want to do through my life? Lord, what do you still desire for me to experience? Father, what possibilities lie within me? Father, what new potential lies before me? Father, what can I possibly still become? Or what did you have in mind when you created me? What do you desire from me, Father? And these are questions that only God can answer. And for the vast majority of people, in the vast majority of situations and circumstances, he will answer them only when we ask. Remember, God is not a general. He's legitimate. He gives us free will choice. So if we want to push him out, you know, he doesn't try to push his way back in. That's what I say. That's my acronym for ego is edging God out. You know, when we're going to do things in and of ourselves, then, you know, we tie his hands. You know, and I want you to know something. These questions that I wanted you to ask, you know, they're not just for young people. Now, I know that there's a lot of young people that are planning their futures, and they're talking about the jobs they want and where they want to travel and who they want to meet and what experiences they have. But before you go running off, young people, I need you to ask God, have you, you know, and I want to know, have you asked God, what has he created you to do or be? Have you really stopped and asked the Father, well, Lord, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? But I want you to know, again, these questions are not just for young people. These questions can be asked periodically throughout life. You know, I know I've asked them periodically. Maybe the person who has recently lost his spouse. I know one of the first things I said was, Father, what do I do now? Maybe the person who has been released from a job and is looking for another job, they'll ask some of these questions. Or that person who is just retired, you know, they'll ask some of these questions. What do you want me to do now, Lord? Or what about that couple that's about to be married? Or that person that's about to become a parent? We all need to ask God repeatedly and frequently, what did you create me to do and be? Father God, what have you planned for me? And there are five key principles about your potential. The Word of God presents five key principles that are vital for our understanding of potential. Every person has potential. No matter how much you may have achieved already, and no matter how old you are, there's still more God has that you can do and be. Every person has been created by God to bring him glory. And how do we accomplish that? By being the people that he made us to be, as individually and then collectively as his church, and by fulfilling his purposes for us here on earth. No one can reach his potential without the Father's help or apart from his God-given gifts and talents. No person can reach their potential without factoring in the spiritual dimension associated with potential. God has not only created us with gifts and talents to do the work on earth, but he also has created us with desires, dreams, and dispositions to become people with whom he enjoys to have fellowship and spiritual intimacy. Part of our potential lies in who God made us to be, not only what he created us to do. See, only God knows the limits of our potential. We're finite, and we don't have the ability to fathom all that God has purposed for us. No one can fully understand the depths of God's love, the help that he desires to give, or the blessings that he rewards and that he has prepared. A person may reach the pinnacle of a profession or be lauded as the best in the world in a particular sport, skill, or craft. They may rank at the top of any number of the world's scales or of criteria or evaluation. But unless they have factored God into their life and they seek to love him and serve him and others wholeheartedly, they still haven't reached their full potential. They still have only maximized their outward abilities and not their inward attributes. And of course, our potential includes both attributes and abilities like we talked about last week. Hallelujah. And the difference between that attributes and abilities as we talked about last week
our character traits. Our attributes are our character traits, and they're real. You know, that's who the real, you know, they express the real us. They show the real you that exists regardless of what's going on outside of you, okay? It's the who you are no matter where you are or who you associate with. And the Bible gives us a very good description of the character that God desires to see in every one of us. The Apostle Paul wrote this, wrote that it is the Father's purpose to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus, so that we might reflect his nature and character to the world around us, as he declared in Romans 8:29. And the character is summarized in another of Paul's writing, which is very well known, Galatians 5:22-23, and that character is marked by love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control. Now let me tell you something, these are not attributes that we can produce on our own. They develop in us as we say no to the flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit living and working in us. Now, the Spirit grows us up into the fullness of Christ's character, and he generates in us the awareness, ability, and the courage to live out a new life marked by godliness. Hallelujah. And we can't reach our full potential and attributes apart from God. And the same is true with your abilities. You know, you think by exercising and practicing and, you know, or pursuing your education or training, you can reach the fullness of your God-given abilities? Nope. The truth is you really can't, because the Lord gives you opportunities for developing your talents and gifts. And he orchestrates our lives and puts us in the company of the right teachers, the right encouragers, and yes, even competitors, all of whom have a role in pushing us to achieve our full potential. But never forget that it is God who gives us the mental and physical energy to pursue the development of our talents and gifts. He is the one who provides our next heartbeat, our next breath, our next ideal, and our next awareness of what is still possible. And God gives us each opportunities for displaying and using our talents and gifts in ways that produce true spiritual growth. A wise university professor once said, theory is great. The learning and understanding of concepts are essential. Rules, principles, and precepts are vital. But in the end, I know a student has truly mastered a particular subject or skill when that student is capable of performing well in a real-world setting. Learning is completed with application. I truly believe that. We have far too many servant leaders preaching the word without teaching the application. You see, the Christian life was never intended to be a matter of book learning or head knowledge. God wants us to live out the life he created and intends for us to live. And the Bible tells us repeatedly to get knowledge and understanding. But then it challenges us to pursue wisdom, which is the application of knowledge and understanding in real-world situation according to God's commandments and principles. But we must take a step beyond mere application of what we know. That step is service. Our abilities are truly challenged when we manifest them in ways that genuinely help other people. Let me give you an example. A young person may want to be a carpenter, okay? And they may go to carpentry school, and they may go and, you know, they may have the physical aptitude to work with their hands, and they might have artistic ability, and they can provide a sense of what makes quality and beautiful craftsmanship. And, you know, like I said, they might know all about how to treat the wood and stain the wood and work with the grains of wood. But then the day comes when he completes a project on his own. And as he finishes more and more, displaying finer and finer craftsmanship, his potential may appear to be realized. But from God's perspective, this carpenter has not reached his full potential until the day he turns his skills into service. See, that gift, those talents, do not become viable to God until he builds adequate houses for families that are once living in cardboard boxes trimmed in tin. Or he raises churches where people can go to worship. Or he constructs schools for educating people in the truth of the Bible. Or he begins to teach others how to develop and use their woodworking skills for God's glory. It is then and only then is his potential fully realized. Or the same main principle may hold true of a young woman who has musical abilities. She may study with excellent teachers and learn to read music and play instruments or sing in a highly skilled way. Then comes the day for performance. And she appears in front of an audience in a way that wins their applause, perhaps even a standing ovation. But then comes the opportunity to use her beautiful voice or her skills as a musician for purposes that are truly evangelistic or worship-oriented. And if she does that, it will be then that her fullest potential is realized. When she raises her voice in praise to give God glory, when she raises her voice to sing, to make someone's heart smile, when she raises her voice to declare that God is good, then is her full potential realized. Only God provides these genuine opportunities for service and rewards all of us with his presence. Our skills and abilities are used in real-world situations for true service to the Lord, and he gives an added dimension to the word purpose. At this point, a person will truly experience fulfillment and joy. I know that's right. I love what I do. I don't consider it work at all. I have fun doing what I do because I know I'm teaching the word. I enjoy teaching because I enjoy learning, and I enjoy people hearing the word of God and knowing that they're hearing the word of God. When I teach, it's not about, oh, I'm so wonderful and I've done so many great things. No, it's about what God has done. You know, God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to develop us to bring with the right attributes that bring him glory. Okay, he has trained us, he's molding us, he's shaping us, he's making us, all so that we can bring him glory. And he will do this throughout our entire life. There will never come a time when God stops perfecting us. There will never come a time when he stops growing us up. There will never come a time when we reach our full potential until we hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. As long as we're on this earth, there is more for us to learn. There is more for us to do. There is more ways for us to grow. Hallelujah. There is more people for us to serve. So we have to start walking in our full potential. We have to get out of the window and start looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, who has God created me to be? God is not going to make you a mini version of somebody else. God is not going, and many of us may have the same purpose. But guess what? God uses each of us in our own personality, in our own little quirks, in our own little ways, to do what he has called us to do. So none of us will do the same thing exactly alike. The anointing will be different. The gifting will be a little bit different. So we should stop running around trying to mimic other people and just truly settle down and find our real purpose in the Lord, find out what our true potential is, and then we live it out to the fullest by doing what God himself has commanded us to do. Amen. Well, saints of God, this is my teaching for tonight. I pray that you have gotten something out of it that will truly bless you. Amen. Now, there's about 10 minutes left in the program, so if there's anyone in the studio tonight, if you have a comment or question, you'd like to make it now, if you would press your 1 on your keypad, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of the phone number. Hallelujah. We want to say good evening to the Holloways and to Apostle Zeta Flowers, who is down in Arizona visiting with them. We pray that they are having a beautiful time. We're glad that Apostle Zeta got there safely. So we just praise God for all of you. Oh, they're in here. Oh, okay. Well, I do see that one of the Holloways are in they're in the house. So if you'd like to have a word this evening.
God bless you, Bishop. We're all in the house. Praise the
Amen.
Lord for the Apostle Zeta and Azalea. We just thank God tonight for being on the air. And it was a great message again and a teaching. And what I got out of this when we first came on is that as God's people, we don't just settle for mediocre in life, because
right.
We don't have to, because when we have God in our life, his son Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is touching people's hearts and minds, we can believe God for the best and receive
yes.
the best from him. We can believe
yes.
God that as he releases us into our destinies with our gifts. It's like opening up presents sometimes. We don't know
yes,
what
amen.
Great things God is going to do with our gifts. And so we don't want to hold back on the gifts is what I'm hearing. We don't want to
yes.
hold back from God. We've got to come out of being fearful and intimidated
right.
and afraid to step out. But we just got to go forward in God and stay before God and just keep praising him for his giftings and for the destiny that he has for us. God bless you, Bishop.
God bless you, Prophetess Kathleen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good evening, Apostle.
Oh, God bless you, and good evening to you as well. And thank you for praying for us. We made our trip. And I'll
Hallelujah.
Share the testimonies later. Praise God.
Amen.
But I enjoyed this, what you shared tonight. It was a blessing. And like you said, only God knows our full potential.
Yes.
But if we get with God and we trust him and ask him those questions that you called out earlier, what is your desire for me, Father? And what
yeah.
have you created me to be? And what do you want me to do now? Now,
yeah.
because you know we do certain things sometimes for a long time, and then
yes.
all of a sudden God will have us doing something else or something different, or he will do something new in us. So
that's right.
You know, we need to go to him and ask him what does he have for us to do.
Amen.
I like the part that you brought out too concerning, you know, we can, many of us have the same gifts, same calling,
yes,
same
yes.
talents, but God uses us differently
according to our personalities, according to sometimes where we grew up, our environment,
yes.
You know, and all of these things, our talent,
yes.
Even our work, the work that we
That's right.
set out to do. Yes, it all has to do with that. And, and you brought out our own abilities as well. You know, what are we
yes,
able?
Ma'am.
What are we able to do? God knows that. And you talked about our, character. That's what's very important. And, because we want to be more like him in
yes.
our characteristics. Galatians 5, as you said, helps us to say no to the flesh.
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
and get on to what God would have us to do. All right. I'm going to pass
Amen.
It over.
Thank you, Apostle Zeta. That was beautiful. Thank you.
God bless you. We thank
God bless
God
you, Apostle.
We thank God for teaching tonight. I know it brought me back to when I first got saved. Before I got saved, God knocked on my door and said, okay, I'm calling your vow in. And then I asked God, I said, God, okay, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And God sent me to California. And
Amen.
That's where I got saved. That's where I began to grow and use my talent, to come into the body of Christ and to be available for God's use. And so it's wonderful. We find out where we're headed, find out what God wants us to do, and incorporate our talents and our gifts into the body of Christ and be able to be a blessing to the body through Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the word tonight, and we give God praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. One of the things that I love about living up to our full potential is when we live up to our full potential, we free others to live in theirs. And when we do that together, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, I get hallelujah goosebumps because it's power in our unity. And when we're all coming together, walking in our full potential, in our purpose, for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Just think of how we could change the world. So I want you all to also embrace the gifts, the talents of others, and walk together, come together in unity and power. And whatever you do, do it to the glory of God with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. I want to thank the beautiful servant leaders that spoke tonight, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Prophetess Kathleen Holloway and her wonderful covering, her husband, Apostle Edwin Holloway. I want to thank you. I pray that you three continue to have a beautiful fellowship down there in Arizona. I want to thank all the rest of you for listening on tonight. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Amen.
God,
I love you all.
You
thank you. God bless you.
Love
I love
you.
You
too.
Good night. God bless you.